wake me up. I'm on the floor with my pants off, just after playing a video game, frothing, going, so, what the hell happened? Squawks the parrot.
So nothing different.
I'm going to skip my every day.
Give me some ideas going forward for games we got to play.
Spin Dash, retro gaming podcast, where a bunch of 30-year-old men talk about video games. I'm your host, Cranky Nick Kong, joined by my co-host, Diddy John Kong. How you doing there, sir?
Oh, you know, just living that barrel banana lifestyle. Speaking of barrels. That was my beer cracking. Tonight I have a pumpkin head by Shipyard.
Ooh. Got Pumpkinhead too.
You're so basic.
And our other co-host and our other lovely, dreamy Candy Matt Kong.
That is not the direction I thought you were going to take this.
This raises a lot of questions now.
Mm-hmm.
What questions, John?
We'll discuss that later.
Matt, do you tuck it? You tuck your tail?
I don't. I like to let it hang out. It is what it is. Don't hide. cracking my beer as well.
And what are you drinking?
I have a Dementia Dog from Bigelow Brewing. I believe it is a double IPA. 7.9 alcohol by volume, and I believe they're out of Skowhegan.
Ooh, little Skowhegan there.
I think they're the brewery that does like the brick oven pizzas, and there's like a dog that runs around there. I think I've been to this brewery, but don't quote me on that.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Speaking of breweries, I had to go into one for my work since I'm a traveling salesman, and I actually picked us up a growler of a Birchwood Brewing. It's a milk stout, and it looks pretty tasty. I'm not going to open it up until we actually are doing our men's weekend.
I get this image of you're kind of like Pooh Bear, and you know, you're going to crack into that jar of honey, and we're all going to go on our little trip, and we're going to get there, and there's going to be no honey because Pooh Bear ate it all. That's.
I mean, I will be up there before all of you guys, which is probably a bad thing because I might crack in before, and this might be totally wasted before noon. We'll see.
You literally are going to be Pooh Bear. We're going to have to fish you out of a tree or something. You'll be stuck in it.
Then you guys will show up, and you'll be like, where's Nick? And there'll be a boat that you'll see that's kind of launched down the middle, and maybe feet kicking out. We'll see.
He's going to have no pants. I'm holding on to this Pooh Bear analogy because you're going to have no pants.
I mean, you want me to have no pants?
I mean, I'd prefer if you had pants, but I mean,
do you?
We haven't seen each other in a long time, so maybe.
So the name of the stout, it's Bedelia's, and it's not too bad. 6.0% alcohol. So
whatever, those are rookie numbers.
Yeah, whatever it is, Dan's going to tell you it's trash.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
this is filth water you brought us.
Yeah, I mean tonight I'm drinking a hard seltzer myself.
And
I'm doing it's a Bud Light seltzer.
And what else do you have?
That is it.
There's no vodka?
Vodka is completely out.
You disappoint me.
I drank it all already after my kids were dickheads this weekend.
Yes.
Disappoint me.
So, yeah, yeah. My kids were douches.
And how many seltzers do you have?
I'm about two deep right now.
How many more are left?
It was 18 pack or 12 pack. So I think I have six left. And a random PBR.
That's Bob.
In the fridge.
Okay.
Bob. Sorry. If I don't add the Bob, you guys could probably get all pissy at me.
Creates a paradox.
By the way, a recommendation to anyone that does drink the seltzer waters, specifically Bud Light ones, do not drink the strawberry. It is complete garbage.
I mean, I didn't have high hopes for it anyways, so.
Yeah. Hey, anything with coconut for me, man, it's just meh.
Black cherry is delicious. That one's good. I mixed that with some stuff, too.
That mixes well. Coconut tastes like batteries.
Ooh. What? What's wrong with you?
Nah.
I can only have coconuts if it's like the shaving coconuts, I guess, on topping. As a topping, that's the only time I can eat coconut.
You put the
and with bananas, because we're talking about Donkey Kong as well. Only banana cream pie and banana pudding. Anything else? Oh, banana bread. I can do a lot of banana bread.
Love that. Are you naming all the things that with bananas that you can eat? Like what banana products can't you eat?
I can't eat your banana.
Nice recovery on that one. Nice recovery.
Ooh, you like that? I'm good at like that.
It'll do.
Okay, gents. Let's get to the nitty gritty. What did you pick up this week? Or was there any pickups?
John?
Nothing.
Ooh.
Nothing for me, guys. Pretty boring since our last discussion. Just been playing this, really. And an occasional Smash Bros. Mario Kart. If I had some compatriots to play with, I guess.
I don't want to play Smash Bros. Because you're going to kick my ass and I slowly get more characters. But I'll play Mario Kart. I love playing Mario Kart.
All right.
Just let me know. I'll play Mario Kart.
Sure thing.
How about you, Matt? Anything?
Well,
we get.
Okay, so here's the thing. I have a very exciting pickup, but it's not here yet. So I'm not going to talk about that. but my it's on the way from the Netherlands. Give it time. But my pickup that I actually have is I bought a composite cable for my GameCube. So that's Ooh. That's my big pickup. Woohoo! You know, everyone who's listening to this is probably going, why?
People that don't know about what it is.
Well, what's that? What?
Let people know what that is, because there probably might be some people that don't really know what that is.
Okay, so when you do your AV out on your GameCube, you have multiple options. And right now, I'm running it out S-Video, which I believe is the best that my GameCube can output. So GameCube can output in, I don't think it has an RF out, but don't quote me on that. The next tier up is composite. It's not very good. I have S-Video, which is a step above that, and I'll explain why I'm not doing the S-Video thing going forward. S-Video is a pain in the ass. Above that, you have component cables, and those are like $200. So good luck finding a decent set of component cables for the GameCube. There's other options that have come out lately, but S-Video is a pain in the ass. I can't get a switcher for it that's less than like $200. So I don't know. To tie my setup together, I'm going to downgrade, you know, make it make more sense. You know, people are screaming at this going, why is he going from S-Video to composite? Yeah, I get it. Move on.
Noise.
But that's it. I can't talk about my super secret yet. Nick?
No pickups. I tried, actually. I did try on something.
All right.
So someone had a Game Gear for sale, and they were looking for $120 for it. It was a Game Gear with a case, like an actual Game Gear case. It had a power plug-in. It had also about, I think, 12 games with it. And I would have bought it. But the Game Gear didn't work. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to keep on putting money into something that's not going to work.
Keep buying broken Game Gears.
And that's what I told him. Like, I can't buy that. Like, for the amount you're asking for, I can't put that money into it. Like, I could justify $50 into that plus the games, because I could easily resell the games, because the games he had were well worth it. What he had. I'm like, no. I want something that works. I want something that I can put in and I can actually use. But he had some good games. So it was a hunt down, and then I almost picked up Nintendo Switch game because the guy advertised it as $45 for the pair of games, but I only need one of them because I already had the other one. So I'm like, what do you want for the other one? And he's like, $45. I'm like,
what games?
That's what you're at. it was Pokemon Sword and Mario Kart 8.
I was waiting for when you said physical. Pokemon for John to come in and go, bah!
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It was cheap. I was like, if it was cheap enough, I'd buy it. But I didn't want to pay $45 for just one game because that's pretty much near retail price.
I mean, from our group chat, John's all ready to pay $60 for games that like he could download.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So when this podcast is recording, was it the 30th anniversary?
35th.
35th anniversary, and they came out with a 3D Mario All-Stars, which include Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy. Matt, thoughts?
So here's the thing. I was on the Twitter, the place where all the evil in this world exists, and everyone was battling about if this is Nintendo just fucking over its fans again, or is this a legit price for what you're paying for? And the more and more I read up on it, the more and more I think Nintendo's just fleecing people. I mean, I am a Nintendo fanboy. However, I am willing to criticize Nintendo when they are due criticism. You know, they're charging $60 for these games. Now you can say, okay, the GameCube one, Sunshine, you know, you're going to pay $60 for that anyways on eBay. And to that, I say, well, that's bullshit. This is just the Disney Vault model all over again with Nintendo. They just kept this game from appearing on these systems to artificially raise the price. Mario 64, well, you could get that on the Wii. I believe you get that on the Wii U Virtual Console for like $10. The Wii U, I believe, could... I don't know if you could buy some GameCube games, but you could buy Wii games on the Wii U shop. And those were about $20. I believe Galaxy 1 was $20. So if you assume GameCube's in the middle, I mean, I guess you're paying for cartridge costs, but I guess I just don't get it. You know, it's nice to have all three of these games, but from what I'm understanding, 64 is emulated, which they have the PC port, so you're not even get a widescreen version of it. You're just getting the same Mario 64 that you've always had that you can get access to. You know, it's nice to see the GameCube one, but $60 and not having Mario Galaxy 2, it just seems like a ripoff to me. I don't see the value in this, and I think Nintendo is just fucking over fans again. John?
It's a good premise, and I mean, they should not charge that much. And I think that since they had the original Super Mario All-Stars, there were, what, 4 games on that?
Yeah.
Or, like, wasn't even 5? Because you had the Lost Levels, right?
4. Well, there's 4, or you could get the Mario, the All-Stars plus Mario World pack, which had 5.
True. Yeah. So they should include Galaxy 2 if we're really going to get into it. And then I think it would be worth it. I mean, it's all digital, right? It's not a cartridge.
No, physical release. It's a limited time physical release. And
okay.
I'll walk back some of my statements. If this,
you know, it's going to go up in value anyways at some point, right?
I mean, limited. I think it's only for collectors, but if they make this available digitally and then you can get Galaxy 2 later, or if this leads into more, you know, more GameCube, more 64, more Wii games on the Switch, then I'm okay with it. But for the time being, like, I don't see the value. I think they're fucking us.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like you said, I think if they open them for downloads, like DLC, then yes. Maybe that'd be beneficial for it. As like you said, if they added like Mario Galaxy 2 or maybe other Mario games, maybe outside the kind of like, you know, what is that, Luigi's Mansion or something like that. Something, I think, a little more unique. But $60, yeah. I mean, is there a price point, Matt, that you think they'd be worthy of it?
You know,
that you're willing to pay?
They redid. Now, someone who's listening to this is going to say, look, Spyro and Crash Bandicoot are not the same tier as Mario. Mario is a more valuable IP, so you're going to pay more for Mario. Yes, I get that. But those games also got basically remade or re-upped. I mean, those games are gorgeous. I mean, for this collection, you're paying for the exact same thing that existed before, which I'd argue is a different... you know, a different model than All-Stars. All-Stars upped everything from NES to Super Nintendo. So, you know, if they had thrown in all games, you know, including Galaxy 2, $40, you know, I get the 40, 45, somewhere in that range. I get the cartridge cost argument. I really do. But at the same time, like, you just have these ROMs sitting around. You did absolutely nothing to 64 when hackers have done a ton to 64. Like, they've done more with 64 than Nintendo ever did. Yeah. You know, Sunshine, I believe, is emulated as well. Galaxy, I think, is half emulated. I don't fully understand that, but I think today they announced that it was leaked that it was, you know, parts of it are emulated. I think the sound may not be or something like that. I don't really know, but... So, John, I was expecting a spirited debate.
I don't feel strongly enough. They're going to charge too much. They did this I was going to buy Link's Awakening, and then I saw it was $60. And, I mean, they put more work into that game, totally renovating the graphics and everything, and updating, whatever you want to call it. And then this was $60, and they didn't have to do much. You didn't have to do anything besides copy their emulators and put it on a glorified SD card.
Yeah, you know? People are going to make the argument that, yeah, they had to optimize the emulator for the Switch. And yeah, I get that. But that's just making an investment in your product. Like, you should want to get all your old IPs running on the Switch. Like, that's an investment in your future. You should want to get as many of your Switch titles out there for purchase. So why are we paying the cost of your development for that? You should want to do that so you could sell us other titles. Again, right. I go back to, where's your virtual console, Nintendo? This online system is kind of dumb.
Yeah, we put a lot of money into the virtual console on the past systems. I mean, that was a big draw. That was a lot of fun, having the 64 games on the Wii for us.
Yeah, I just...
I mean, that's what I have on my 3DS. Even I buy a lot of virtual games on my 3DS.
Well, that's a nice little side rant for you, Nick.
Yeah. Well, we can easily go on. Let's talk about Mario's original nemesis.
Ba ba ba.
Let's talk about Donkey Kong, or let's talk about his son or grandkid, depending on the translations, I guess. So this week's game of the week is Donkey Kong Country. Some nostalgia on this one, guys.
This was a fantastic pick because we had some challenges with Body Harvest and we needed a good palate cleanser. I think that's what you called it last time, and this definitely was a palate cleanser.
Yeah, it's a nice breath of fresh air of just having something. I think for us, if anything, it's just again nostalgia, and I think just fond memories, just be able to play, because I don't have a bad thought about this game in my head. Like, every time I played it, it was always fun. It was nice to get together with friends when you want to play it. And I think in every household I went to with my friends, they all had a copy of this game.
Yeah, I think it was such an important title on the Super Nintendo. And I think it had so much going for it. It just, the timing was right. Rare is such an interesting developer, and their history with Nintendo is fascinating. Like, it just, it checks off all the boxes. I'm so glad you picked this game.
And it holds up graphically, too. Like, graphically, this is a pleasing game.
Nick, what'd you find out in the development of this one?
So, I dug a little, because I got them playing it, so I didn't really do much research, because I got sucked into trying to do 100% this game without any like help. I was like, okay, I was going by pure memory of where everything was. So I only played the SNES version. I mean, it actually came out on, one, it was developed by Rare, published by Nintendo. It was released on a bunch of, every platform from pretty much 1994 and up, it was released on. So they released it for the SNES, the original, the Game Boy Color, which, Matt, I think you played it on?
I played it on the SNES and Game Boy Color.
So we'll get more into that. I mean, it was released also on the Game Boy Advance, released on a Wii and on the Wii U Virtual Console, the 3DS Virtual Console, and Super NES Classic Edition that came out. It was also released on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System on the Nintendo Switch. This past July, it just came out.
Which shocks me it took that long.
Yeah, it's very shocking. To be released on it was released on pretty much every console from its conception. Donkey Kong Country was actually the first time Donkey Kong was got brought back too, because originally it was the typical Donkey Kong countries where you climb up a ladder, try to save what's that princess name? I always forget.
Pauline.
Nope, Pauline. So
the thing that got me that was fascinating about this was, you know, Rare has been around forever. I think they were started in like the mid 80s, 85 maybe, by the Stamper brothers. And they're out of the UK. And they kind of got their start. They were making ZX Spectrum games and Commodore 64 games. The only one that I played is Attic Attack. You know, they had another game called Knight's Lore or Knight Lore. Kind of the isometric games that you kind of associate with, like, you know, the early British computing games. They eventually moved over to the NES. They made stuff like RC Pro-Am. Did you guys ever play that one?
No.
Oh, that's a great game. They made Battletoads. They made Snake Rattle and Roll, which I think is a really underrated NES game. Yeah, so they've been into this for a bit. You know, they kind of sat out most of the 16-bit generation. And from what I found, after Nintendo pursued, I think it was after Nintendo worked with Argonaut on Star Fox, they also looked to other Western developers. And I think Nintendo was feeling pressure from Sega, Nick, your love.
Gotta love it.
Its release of Aladdin, I believe, really bothered Nintendo, because Aladdin on the Genesis was very smooth. The animations were just absolutely gorgeous. It's something to look at when you play Aladdin on the Genesis. So Nintendo wanted something like that. I think around the same time, this is when Rare invested a ton of money in these like SGI workstations. They're expensive as hell. I believe they're the same things. John, you'd appreciate this. I think SGI was what they used to make like a lot of the 3D graphics in the movie The Abyss, which I think is on. And I think they used it for other, like a lot of your 3D movies, you know, around that time were all done.
Yeah, you're talking about ACM?
I don't know what that means. SGI is, it was Silicon Graphics.
Oh, because, I mean, you
what's
know,
ACM mean?
Advanced computer modeling.
Gotcha.
So
it
used a wireframe modeling, character 3D modeling rendering of the character.
That's it.
So is the first digitalized 3D rendered image.
They graphics. So get this, right? Those workstations that they use to make this, you know, they used to make any of these 3D things. In U.S. dollars, I think it's like $70,000 a pop. So they paid $70,000 a computer just to model back in then, just to generate the images for this. And from what I was reading, like they were making this game in the summer, so the heat was just offensive. These computers kicked off tons of heat. It was basically miserable for the employees to sit there and like trying to like generate Donkey Kong and all this stuff in the friggin' heat of these computers. And I think they did a tech demo of a boxing game. And that's what Nintendo kind of sold Nintendo on this. And Nintendo, unlike Star Fox, where Nintendo was really heavy-handed and shit, Nintendo gave them so much creative control over Donkey Kong. I mean, even the design of Donkey Kong, which we can talk about later, but Miyamoto had an idea for that, and Rare had another. And if you look at the design, it's more in the Rare camp than it is in the Miyamoto camp. I mean, Donkey Kong is Miyamoto's baby, and this British company ran with it. I mean, just absolutely shocking.
Yeah, these guys are legit. I like, so me being the music guy that I am, their guy that they hired to do this.
Oh, David Weiss.
Wrote everything himself. Yeah. Yep. They found him selling keyboards in a music shop, I guess. And they heard some stuff he made, and then they offered him a job. And this was like his golden goose.
I think back then as well, I think a lot of people stumbled into the industry like that. Like they're like, oh, you know, something that we all kind of had a point to watch is the new Netflix special there.
Oh, High Score. High Score, yep.
Oh, yeah.
And if you listen to some of the stories of people that ended up in the industry, it was literally they stumbled into it because either they're like, oh, my husband's a computer programmer and I want to make a game. Or the other one was, I think most one was like when Nintendo used to have those 1-800 numbers.
Oh yeah. The counselors.
And people were like, oh, I want to get a job at Nintendo. And they became counselors.
It's
like, oh, you get to play video games. So just people like used to stumble in the industry around that time. It was just amazing and mind boggling. Something Matt, I'm reading here as well, that he's right. It was as of August, Tim Stamper estimated that the development team had logged 18 man years of effort.
Years?
Yep. Man years of effort. Probably the most time ever spent on a single game.
That's wild.
Because here's the thing, right? They had to model all these things. So really complex 3D modeling, like stuff that you would find in a movie. And then from that, they would have to scale everything down so that it could be represented in a game that was sprite-based. So, you know, take a super high-resolution picture and then scale it down into a real small, you know, fraction of that. And they had to do that with everything. And it had to maintain that look, you know, that real fluid 3D look that it had, you know, and to trick you. I mean, these were sprites, but you never would have believed it. I mean, I guess the backgrounds were insane because it was so much work to have these really complex things to sort them out. Oh, it must have been an absolute nightmare to make this game.
Oh, this game, I mean, it's beautiful too. Just pulling up, it is a beautiful game. Like straight up, there's like, they outdid themselves both onto a music side. I mean, also the characters, you know, I mean, how many characters are actually in this game as well? It's mind boggling. I mean, let's get it down. I mean, you have Donkey Kong, the main lead, but you also now he has a compatriot, a chimpanzee by the name of Diddy Kong. And you can actually switch in between those characters pretty fluidly throughout the whole game.
Yeah.
And each have their own, like, they have their own ability. It's well established what they can do, what's the benefits. And you actually have to kind of think, it's not just like a side scroller where you get to the end, but there's actually where, like, oh, I need this character to get to this place, or I need this character to get do this thing.
Did one of them actually jump higher?
Diddy.
Diddy Kong.
Diddy
was. That's what I thought.
You know, Nick, one thing that was really cool about this game is I was reading something about the philosophy. You know, when you first said you wanted to play this game, like, it's Donkey Kong Country. I mean, it's a pretty game, but it's a simple game, right? I mean, there's not a whole lot to Donkey Kong. But one of the things I was reading is that they started off making this game and they had really complex move sets lined up for Diddy and lined up for Donkey. And over time, they would just, that disrupts the flow, scratch it. That disrupts the flow, scratch it. And they kept whittling down this game. Like they just, you know, level design, they looked to Mario 3. They wanted a real simple level design. And then when they were, how the characters moved in it, I mean, they just kept stripping it down until they gave you just the artfully, you know, the bare bones. This is what it's going to take to get you through this level. We're not gonna throw a bunch of shit in your way to slow you down. You know, it's such a fluid game. I mean, that's the best way I could describe it. It's very fluid.
Yeah, they don't punish you for just keeping your finger on the, you know, right arrow.
And that was another thing too. It's like, I don't know if Nick, this is kind of in your camp, but did you get any Sonic feel from this?
Oh, can you hear me? Uh-oh.
Nick?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Check the phone. I think we lost him.
Dude, come on.
Tech difficulties. Nick, I think your mic unplugged, buddy. Nick!
I don't want to restart this, dude.
Nick, no, we're not going to stop this. Nick, he's talking. I can hear him talking through someone's earphones. It might be mine.
You can hear him talking through, you know, distance because he's that loud.
I mean, he's having a hell of a conversation. He's really enjoying this. I'm trying to text him right now.
Uh,
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey. You're back.
All right, so I was still live. I was still recording on my side.
It's going to be frantic.
My thing just skipped a little bit.
I'm going to keep all that in there because like John and I are going, Nick, and you're like, you're talking away. I can kind of hear in my earphones, like you had a great conversation by yourself. You were getting deep.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Did your bucket fall over?
I'm using an actual stand mic here.
Hey, you got a stand. All right.
Well, I'm using old Nessie. Nessie I'm using.
What's old Nessie?
It's an old blue Nessie mic that cost me like $10.
Old Nessie failing.
Old Nessie sees what it's doing. So I'm not happy editing on this one.
I'm going to leave it. Fuck it. No,
I think I actually skipped because I think I had to hit record like for a hot second too.
Okay.
So I might be off by like 2-3 seconds as well, time wise.
We'll be all set when I line it up. So Nick,
all right.
I had this long praise of Donkey Kong, and I said,
yeah, I was hearing out. You're sucking the cock of Donkey.
I was sucking Donkey's cock, and then I said, Nick, I got a lot of Sonic feel for how the thing moved, and that's when you were gone. I missed your chance.
So you guys probably hear it because I was like, oh yeah. So there were some levels that just had it. So like, I think because of nostalgia reasons, I remembered a lot of the things in this game. So I was speeding through a lot of the levels, and I think I got cocky a lot. Like, you know, with Sonic Hedgehog games, is you got too cocky, like, oh, boom, 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 and you can sometimes get nicked by a boss. Same thing with that, especially with those bees. Hornets. So, but yeah, it was very fluid. The good thing with the Sonic games, they're fairly fluid levels. So you're like, boom, 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 and you could finish level quickly. Same with these Donkey Kong games, is it was fluid. Like, it worked together. But at the same time, the punishment in those games, if you went through a level, is there's quite a bit of secrets in this game.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of secrets, actually. Like, one I remember is, as a kid, I used to, if you blow out of Donkey Kong's house, is there, but if you go back, you get an extra life.
They cram so much into this, and it just, I don't know. There's just something special about this game. I think we look at it because it's such a pretty game that we just kind of dismiss it in a lot of ways and just say, it's just like I did, you know, this is just a pretty game. And there's a lot of thought in this game that I don't think Donkey Kong Country gets the respect it deserves. I mean, it's beloved, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of real deliberate thought in what they put into this game.
Yeah, I mean, you had some pretty nifty NPCs, too. You had Candy Kong, which was your save points.
So let's talk about the characters, if you want.
Yeah.
Now you're on Candy.
So, we'll start off with Donker. He's the main character, obviously. I always thought he was a grandson of Cranky Kong. That was my understanding of him. But after reading, I guess he's the son, so he's the technically junior.
Nope. You had it right. He is the third.
There's aspects. Like I read like different things from Nintendo Power. Even
really,
like, it really depends.
Those
yeah,
bastards. They're the propaganda wing of Nintendo. How'd they fuck this up?
Like, is this different things? I just remember, but yeah, I always thought the third. But I always had a question. Like, well, what happened to Donkey Kong Jr. then? Was he the only one that was in technically where he was in technically Mario Kart here?
Yep.
And then he was also technically in the Donkey Kong Jr., the game.
Yeah, and he was in – there was some tennis games, Mario Tennis games he was in. You know, I think he's kind of like a child star. You know, they have kind of like their big child outing, and then they end up doing like a bunch of crack off a stripper's ass in Vegas, and you never hear from them again until you hear like the police logs. Like, that's Donkey Kong Jr., like, you know. He had a bright start, and just the world got to him.
Yeah.
Then it reveals that you have also Diddy Kong, his best friend and sidekick, and for Donkey Kong, and he's also training Diddy Kong. The thing about Diddy, though, is he has a tail, so he's technically not ape. He's a monkey. So technically, the only monkey out of the whole group.
I read he was a nephew. I read he was Donkey Kong. I'm gonna call so Cranky. I'm gonna call him Donkey Kong Senior. He's the guy that fought Mario, and then Junior. He's our child star crack addict. So Donkey is like the third. We're gonna call him Trip. Diddy is, I think, Trip's nephew. Interesting family tree, because you know what Donkey Kong, I believe, is a gorilla and Diddy is a chimp.
Yeah. So one is an ape and one is a monkey.
Close enough.
Ape is no tails and the monkeys have tails.
I actually did not know that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Jane Fonda, what is that woman that was
spending? Jane Goodall.
Did you say Jane Fonda, yeah, like the workout first? Is that where you're going?
So moving on. Then you have Candy Kong, which is Donkey Kong's love interest. She was also your save point system throughout there. So, Matt, what do you think of the save points?
Well, can I cut you off on Candy?
Yeah.
So as a kid, I knew that Donkey had a thing for Candy.
Mm-hmm.
But I always thought it was weird that their last name was Kong. And I was like, this hits a little too close to like the town that was over from where I grew up. Like this type of thing, you know, why go across the street when you can go across the hall kind of deal? Like it's a little creepy. But Kong isn't their last name. Kong is like their clan. So Donkey can have a thing for Candy and it's not incest. So we don't have to worry about like, you know, Donkey Kong the Fourth coming out with like a weird like Habsburg jaw, whatever. Like the kings in like England, you know, they're all like inbred and deformed.
Yeah. Is it mad to bring incest into a podcast about video games?
Fuck yeah!
So save points. What do you think about the save points? By the way, let's just go on that a little bit.
John,
were they needed? Do you think they should have been more?
Yeah, they were all right. You had to get through a few levels. Some were harder than others, but, you know, I used our friendly save states when I played, so didn't really need them.
Cheating but, bastard.
Yeah. Mm. As a kid, they were appreciated. Yeah.
There's some hard levels in this game.
You know, yeah. One per world, I'd say, is adequate.
You had pretty much like four worlds, pretty much, if you were to put it like that.
I think by today's standards, they would be considered unfair, but we got used to it back in the day, you know, because like, let's say you screwed up. I mean, you kind of get the same thing on New Super Mario Brothers, so I guess it's not too shocking, but, you know, let's say you've beaten a really hard level, you know, you may have three more levels to go before you can actually save, you know, and they,
yeah,
I didn't run into this when I played the Game Boy Color version. And then I don't believe the GBA version has it either.
Yeah, I only played the Super version. And as a kid, this sucked because, like, if you played it around bedtime, you know, you had to be good, not die to make it to a safe level.
I used to pause the game and unplug the AV cables and leave it on.
Parents' power bill just skyrockets.
That was the thing, though. I mean, there'd be shit that I wouldn't do around the house, and like Dad would get pissed off about it, and he'd come in, and like he'd rip the game out, and you'd be like, no. But yeah, that was a concern. You know, you'd turn off the TV real quick and hope they didn't notice the light was on.
Yeah, you could hear my TV after a while as a kid. It was a Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, the high pitch.
Yeah, you remember those. TVs that would just crack randomly, like the old tube TVs.
Tube in my office does that. I'll be sitting here.
It's quite a sharp noise. It used to jolt me awake.
Matt's gonna blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my Atari's gonna burn my house down. I've got it on a power strip so that it kills the power to it when the TV isn't on because I'm afraid of it.
You're gonna have to get one of those pucks that they put under like the range top, so if the fire touches it, it just puts everything out.
Oh, that does like all the other things in this room, like it will be all right. But that Atari, it's like that power supply is humming. I'm like, this thing's going to burn my house.
Maybe you should put a heat condenser onto it, like they do on like in computers.
Oh, yeah. A cooling pad.
Liquid cool my power pack.
The next NPC is Cranky Kong, the original Donkey Kong. So he's the dude that fought the Mario. And had Pauline. Something kind of cool about this character is, one, he breaks the fourth wall. Like little snippets, like, back in my day, you know, I used to be able to find all the save points. Like, he's talking as he knew he was a video game. He's a little helpful, too, because he gave you hints on the upcoming levels a little bit.
You know, the thing I got with Cranky... And you just wouldn't get this out of a Nintendo game out of Japan. This is very British, but just Cranky just being a dick to you in a Nintendo game. I mean, you beat the game, and if you don't find all the secrets, he just sit there and he tells you, like, you know, if I was to do this, I would have found all this stuff. You clearly didn't try hard enough. Like, Cranky is so funny. Like, he's just such a such a great, you know, them reinventing... You know, Donkey Kong, who you know, stole Pauline and fought Mario. You know, now he's just this cranky old dude that tells his grandson how much he sucks. Like, that's so brilliant.
So one thing that was going in the back of my mind when we're playing this was if they casted a movie, because this is a very popular franchise for Nintendo.
John, keep that thought. Hold that thought.
Oh, okay. No. Oh,
hold that thought.
All right.
Stop monkeying around.
Yes, sir.
A dad joke.
Ooh, but yeah, I like Cranky. Did you guys keep on using him throughout the whole game, though? Like, I think I used him like twice.
No, he was worthless.
No, he's useless to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, I was like, don't want to hear him.
Such a stark commentary on our elderly.
Yeah. You're trash.
Like, I'm surprised he didn't put Donkey Kong in a home Cranky in a home earlier.
Yeah.
Next NPC was Funky Kong. I think this is one that I always liked. I never actually used this guy's ability or the function of what he did ever when I played as a kid. But I always visit him just because I like seeing the fact that he had a surfboard. He was like a cool dude, like hip dude, I guess, back in the 90s.
I'm going to challenge
But I used him a surfer lot. Bomb. In this game, like,
yeah, to go find where you missed the secret spots in the levels.
Secret spots. I also use them to jump and get where at the point where I got to a point where I was like, I was burning through lives. So I went and just gathered because I knew I knew where all the other spots were. So I was gathering lives. So at one point, I think I ended the game with 50 lives.
Yeah.
I would always use Funky that I would take. Like, if I needed to save and I couldn't get to Candy, but I could get to Funky, I would take Funky back to a different Candy and save that way.
That's a good point.
I was going to challenge you, Nick, though. I always thought Funky was a tool bag.
You would.
You know, he's Donkey's friend, but it's just like, I know I've been on this like anti-California kick lately. You know, thankfully, we have no listeners from California yet, so I can bitch about California. As soon as we do, I'm gonna kiss up to him. But he's just
You're gonna suck there, California.
This tool bag, he's just hanging around. He's a poser. Fuck Funky Kong.
Something this game had is your animal friends. I remember using these guys quite a bit, mostly the rhino and the swordfish. So the rhino's name, I never knew the names ever until probably years later, was Rambi. The rhino. So he was able to pretty much plow everything and destroy it. So it didn't matter what it was. Also helped break entrances. So he's pretty much a bulldozer. He was fun to play with. Next was Ungarde the Swordfish, which was effing useless. I'm sorry.
What? Ungarde was great.
Yeah, Ungarde was the shit.
I never had a chance to hit a fish. Like, you had to be precise on hitting a other fish or shark.
I like the Donkey Kong water levels, man. They're better than
the franchises. The best water level in any franchise. Challenge me.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're good water levels. I just never cared for using them. The only thing I was benefit was the fact that it was almost like I always lost them. So, and also it was good to go quicker through the water, but its attack, I didn't care for his attack system. And he also would randomly, he would automatically attack as well if he's near enemy. Even if it's not lined up.
I love the faces that the monkeys make when the swordfish goes and it rams into somebody. It's like this like humping O face. I don't know. I laugh every time that Ungarde rams somebody. It's just like, this is funny. This is hysterical.
Next one was Winky the Frog. I liked him because I think it was back then as a kid. I used to have a fascination with frogs. I don't know why. I just like catching them. Yeah, I loved catching frogs and learning about frogs back when I was like 9 or 10. Hmm. So when this game came out, so Winky, I really liked, and I actually still like as a thing because he helped against the damn bees.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because you can jump on the bees and not be hurt. So I was like, fantastic. So, but you also have a really good jump with him, which helped get a lot of areas. Next up was Espresso the Ostrich. I know his benefit was obviously he could run really fast, but he couldn't attack any enemies at all. Like, he couldn't jump on them, couldn't do anything. He had nothing.
Didn't have to when you were flying through the air.
Yeah, stay airborne with him and just flap.
And that's all they did. And the good thing is, like, all the Kremlings, the claptraps, because long legs, you could just stand in those areas and it didn't do anything to you. The last but not least is Squawks, which I think is only in like one level, maybe two. And all he is a lamp carrying bird.
Squawks sucks.
Yeah, he's useless.
He's fucking useless. Here's the thing, right? You'd be playing like, you've got your room nice and dark, like no one knows you got your Super Nintendo fired up. And you got Squawks, right? I don't know how if you guys play, but when I play Donkey Kong, I'm constantly just mashing the D-pad left and right, you know, flipping around back and forth. Well, every time you flip left and right, Squawks also flips left and right, and it flashes the screen. So, like, you've got this, like, strobing, seizure-inducing. It's like, oh, my God, bird, will you just face forward? I'm going to keel over and start frothing at the mouth. Goddamn bird. It's like two levels with Squawks, and every time I had to get admitted to the ER when I got played with them, it was fucking awful.
That's their attention to detail, man, that the light would turn like that, you know, when they developed this game.
I mean, also, you think it kind of broke the fourth wall, too.
How they break the fourth wall, sending me to the ER?
Well, no, it's actually flashing you, like, the screen, like, ahead of you. Why would it have to do that? It didn't technically have to. He could easily just go to one side, left or right, but actually face forward, you know, creating that bright. So, in a sense, you're like, oh, it kind of, like, drew your attention.
So, that they had actually the Z-axis in the 2D game. All right.
So,
Z-axis just needs a warning label or something, because, man, wake me up. I'm on the floor with my pants off just after playing a video game, frothing, going, what the hell happened? Squawks the parrot.
So nothing different. I'm going to skip
my everyday.
This is giving me some ideas going forward for games we've got to play.
going to kind of jump around here. I was going to go over enemies, but something kind of cool. This obviously you had to collect bananas. The whole point of the game for this game is Diddy Kong. Well, he left the cave that he was guarding with the Kong banana horde. All his bananas are still, all the bananas stolen. So Donkey Kong and Diddy are trying to get all the bananas back. So throughout the game, you're collecting bananas. Get 100 bananas, you get a life. Awesome. Something that was kind of cool with this was the animal tokens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
As you collect three in a row, then you had a chance to pretty much gather more animal and more bananas to get extra lives. I always loved those as a kid. My favorite one was always doing I always liked doing espressos. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
Because I get this tool and I get easy seven lives. And then if you get the big golden one, you doubled up or tripled up. Was it like triple or double?
Double.
So you double up that. Those are all fun. And obviously the only ones I didn't have was Squawks because he was effing useless.
Epileptic Squawks.
Yeah. You had the frog, the rhino, and espresso.
In Donkey Kong Country 2, I think Squawks plays a bit of role. They give him an upgrade, but here he just...
I think you use him as... I think doesn't he hold on to you or you hold on to
him? Yeah, you grapple onto him and he shoots, like, spits peanuts out at people. But in this, he just injures your mind.
ways to get extra lives. You had the balloons, which I thought was weird. They used balloons for the extra lives. That was kind of cool. You had the red, green, and blue. 1, 2, and 3 was the lives on that. Other token thing of getting the game is you had to collect the word Kong throughout, which I didn't really do it near the end as much because I was missing one letter or so.
Yeah.
I got that.
But one thing this game I really liked was it's a plethora of villains. And there's no repeats.
What do you mean?
Like, they didn't repeat. Like, oh, this is Chomp Junior. Okay, here's, you know, Chomp Chomp or something like that. They didn't like get just reuse a sprite to. There you go, John.
Sprite. They reuse sprites on this one.
Especially on bosses. Well,
they didn't reuse and give a different name, really.
Well, like
they kept the same.
There were
name.
Seven crocodile dudes, right?
They reused a lot. They palette swapped a lot in this.
Yeah, and the zinger, the friggin' bee zinger guys, they had like five of
but
those.
Not too. As much as other games. Other games literally had like four characters, and that's all they did.
I don't know.
They had more. I'll give you that. They had a decent amount of bad guys.
They had
guys,
lot more, I think, other characters to choose from, and they didn't palette swap nearly as much as they had to. So you had the armadillo, which they called Army, that just rolled around. It was annoying as all hell if you weren't Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Diddy sucked with him.
Yeah. You had the Naughties, which were the beavers. Again, I never noticed.
Is that a funny joke? Because I always thought that was hysterical. Just a naughty beaver.
Yeah.
These guys had some very tongue-in-cheek humor, man. It was good.
Then you had Mankey Kong, which was an orangutan that threw barrels.
That was a dick. Donkey Kong. I hated that. Fuck, that might be like the
fuck Mankey.
Ugh.
Dead apparently, bees, he's from man. The Orang-O-Tang gang. Like the Wu-Tang gang. That's how they played there. Then you had the mini neckies that spit those freaking nuts at you.
Why are these birds spitting nuts, by the way?
I have no idea. Spitting nuts at Kongs, I never know. Then you had Necky, which was the vultures that just flew back and forth. You had the Slippa, which was the coral snakes. Here's one where, yes, they did do a lot of palette swapping, was the zingers, which were the bees.
It looks like there were a few of those moving in different directions and stuff.
Those got annoying. Like I said, I really lived there. You got your aquatic bad guys, which was a bite size, which were the piranhas. You had Chomps, which was a regular like bull shark. Then you had Chomps Jr. You had the Clambo, which was the clam that spit pearls at you.
Oh, yeah.
The Croctopus.
That's a stretch. That sounds dirty. That's a stretch.
Does that sound dirty, though? Croctopus? Then you had a squidge. It was a squid. They had a G in there.
That sounds dirtier to me. Like, put it in the squidge.
You have the clap traps, ankle biters. Yeah, the clump, which was the army one with that you had to hit. I always liked hitting those guys with Diddy Kong, though.
Get him in the belly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crash. Those are the alligators that are in the cart level. Oh, my God. Cart levels.
Yes. Let's talk about the cart levels.
Oh, we had to derail. We literally had to derail to that one.
Another fucking dad joke. What is with you tonight?
Yeah, man.
I quit.
No. Don't quit, Matt. Like, I feel like it's a rite of passage if you can complete that whole level without dying. Like, I remember seeing, I think I saw, like, a YouTube video where, like, it was, like, two parents, like, playing Donkey Kong Country, and that was, like, a level they were showing. And you just see, like, how tense, like, the dad's getting into it, trying to make sure he had proper jumps over all the, like, crash carts.
It was hard to time those jumps when one track was ending. That got me quite a few times.
So.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, they're fun levels, like, super fun. Like, once you get to it, it's all timing. And I'd actually go back and just play those levels because they're just fun. See if I can do better and better.
They're my favorite levels. I wish there were more minecart levels.
There's what?
Three? Two. Just two. There's one in, there's one in the Monkey Mines. And then there's one in Kremrock Industries, and I love them.
What's your favorite one of the two?
I like the first one better. The one where you stay in the cart.
Yeah. The other one is challenging because you had to jump cart to cart.
Yep. I wish there were more. I don't know. I had so much fun with those levels. I know some people say they're so hard, and maybe I'm just kind of like, I don't know, insulated from that because I played the game so much and I grew up with it. But man, you hit those minecart levels and it's like, oh, I mean, the first one, you can actually skip the whole thing. If you jump over that barrel at the start, there's like a barrel at the bottom of the ravine that you can get in and it shoots you right to the end. So you don't have to worry about it. But man, I love the minecart. Like I wish there was so much more minecarts in Donkey Kong. Just awesome.
Going back to there, you had the critters, which were just the regular alligators. Some had different abilities, be it they ran really fast or one with jumps and blah, 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 blah. Other ones, you had the gym crushers.
Oh, yeah, the big, crusher. The strong dudes. Yeah.
Those are the ones that went,
those guys are great. Well. You had like two of them, right? You had like the big, you had like the regular guy that only Donkey could kill. And then there was like a special one near the end of the game that no one could kill. Like he was just so – he was like gray. He was jacked. No one could beat him.
You had to hit him with a barrel.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. The gray crushes are stronger and the blue ones can be only defeated – wait. Gray crushes are stronger than the blue ones and can only be defeated by the barrel. Yeah.
You know what's kind of cool if you think about that though, Nick?
Hmm.
You know, if you look at – Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. No one cares about Donkey Kong 3. It doesn't count. They really didn't leave Rare a whole lot to work with. I mean, there's not a whole lot of like Donkey Kong. Like we're going to build the Donkey Kong universe off this. Like they invented so much. Like you look at the Claptrap. I mean, that was in Donkey Kong Jr. And then from there, they built this entire hit, you know, world up for Donkey Kong. You know, a country, if you will. But it's amazing what they got out of so little and how much they just crafted.
They took a IP that was not being used at all and they built a full franchise out of it. Like they rejuvenated the whole franchise and gave – wasn't actually – you said it's Sonic. Wasn't technically Donkey Kong made to battle Sonic?
I mean, I think what happened is it ended up being compared because of release date. I think Nintendo really was trying to outdo Aladdin, but I think the timing of Donkey Kong. So you had the whole Sega Nintendo war, and I think Donkey Kong is what finally, you know, tipped things in Nintendo's direction. Because Donkey Kong was kind of weird too, the timing of it. You know, Sega had put a significant dent in Nintendo's market share with the Super Nintendo. And, you know, Sonic, I want to say Sonic 3 came out the same time Donkey Kong Country did. But Nintendo was like, they were kind of fighting a two-front war because on one hand, they wanted to fight Sega. But on the other hand, they were also facing pressure from, there was an upcoming generation and the PlayStation was known, if not, PlayStation I think was like 95-ish and this came out 94. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what the PlayStation could do was known. And the Saturn wasn't too far behind. So, you know, Nintendo needed to make gains on what it had done with Sega because it lost some ground to the Genesis. And at the same time, you had PlayStation and the Saturn right around the corner. So they needed something so, you know, to keep the Super Nintendo in there just a little bit longer to give them more time for the 64 to come around. And just, this game was so damn beautiful that it tricked everyone into believing like, oh my God, this game could compete with a PlayStation game, you know, it could compete with Saturn.
So I'm going back to Junior, so because you said it. So they did have the Snapjaw, what was it called?
Oh, Claptraps?
Claptraps, but originally in there, they were called the Snapjaws in Junior. And they also did have the vulture-like birds, too.
Oh, they did.
Called, yeah. They called them Nitpicker.
And you know, if we really want to get into the unspeakables, you know, Donkey Kong 3 had Stanley the Bugman, who no one gives two shits about, fighting Donkey Kong, and there was a bunch of bees in it. So I suppose they could get all the bees in this game from Donkey Kong 3, you know, what we know not speak of.
So, but, I mean, it rejuvenated nonetheless. I mean, you had all these there. I mean, you had new baddies that completely came out. You had the Rock Rocks. So those were annoying, too. This where you had to, in the levels where you had to use the stop signs to stop them.
Yeah.
From running around because they ran like madmen. I mean, you had some other things. You had like the black drum that would spit out different damn things. One of the other villains. Then you had your bosses of the four, six areas. So four or five, six areas.
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Seven areas. So you had seven different technically areas, and I think 40 levels altogether.
Yep.
So you had about six to seven. Probably five levels, depending on what level you were on.
It varied. So you had Gangplank was one. It was a one level, one world kind of thing.
Yeah. You had the very naughty, which was a beaver that you had to hit there. The layers all looked the same. Then you had Master Neki, which was a damn big vulture head that spit nuts at you. You had the Queen Bee. And you had Really Naughty. And I think with Really Naughty, he started jumping as well. Like each one started doing different things.
Yep.
Then you had the Dumb Drum, which was the stupidest villain ever.
Such a fucking lame boss.
It was so stupid. It was like, what's this? Like, I feel like they were just like, why couldn't they? Like, obviously what they were doing was taking some of the smaller villains and just making them into bigger ones. So why didn't they take, like, one of the Crocs?
They
could took a Clump lame. And made it, like, oh, Clump through something or something like that.
It was really lame. That was a lame fight because the thing just destroyed itself. You just had to like jump on all the things that it dumped out at you, and it eventually just blew itself up. It was
the easiest of the one of the easiest of the bosses, definitely. Yeah. I mean they're all easy. I don't think I died with any of them.
Yeah,
no, I didn't. I didn't die. Didn't die with any of them. It's because they're pretty easy.
Bosses weren't too bad in this game. I think that the second bird one was probably the hardest.
Master Neki Senior. So I rescind my thing that they didn't reuse
it. Yeah. I was holding my biting my tongue. I'm like, oh my God, the bosses in this game are just
bite, you don't have to bite any longer.
Palette swapped assholes.
They palette swapped the whole shitload, sorry. I think it was I was blinded by nostalgia, sorry.
Blinded by nostalgia. Revved up like a douche.
So, and then your final, the thief of himself was King K. Rool.
Did you like the name, John? Did you get it?
Underwhelming. King K. Rool.
King K. Rool.
Cruel. K-Rule. Cruel.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Very astute observation you got there.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, I was disappointed by this boss fight. It was too easy.
Even it's a two-parter too, technically.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I beat it. It's like...
That was awesome. Yeah. That was so cool. I don't know of any game that's done that.
Hmm.
Yeah, once you get timing, it's all about just timing his throwing of the crown. But those are the bosses. Let's go back to the levels on this. So I feel like the first one was really, you started to kind of get used to your characters. It's really, it was just a sad jungle scene, and you had to get to one area to another. You'd have to find, you'd have barrels that would, for save point, mid save points, that kind of reminded me actually of Sonic. Now you say it, Matt. Because you usually have, you had to hit the spin pole and do the sparkle. Donkey Kong did the same thing.
Get the sparkle.
A little glimmer. And, going through levels. My favorite, and one I found the most annoying, though, was the ice levels.
I love the ice levels. I have just such a weird, you talk about your love and then come back to me, because I have a story there.
Like, I loved how they were depicted and how they're is nice and kind of clean looking, like really sparkly. But I thought they were just really fun because it did add a pretty good element of not having a, like, it was already kind of floaty as is too, because if you're running with the characters, they don't automatically stop when you let go. They still go. So with this, it just added on to that thing. And I mean, it made it, you had to be more cautious, you had to be more attentive to your jump and to what you had, where you're jumping and how fast you're moving. At the same time, I hated it too because I would just get nicked or I wasn't, didn't time something right and I'd hit those damn bees, especially on the ice ropes. Like you're just like, or you're like, you're mashing jump on, trying to jump up one rope to get to a special. So, like, I liked them. I still love them. I think they're the fun. They're very they're probably the most challenging in the whole game. And that's what I liked about them is they kept the challenge. Like, it was probably my – I probably spent the most time in those levels.
Yeah, what was that last ice level called with all the barrels and the friggin' hornets?
Let me find out.
Yeah.
That was hard.
That was
the hardest level in the game.
In the treetops?
There's Rope Bridge, Rumble, and then there's Torchlight.
No, it's not Torchlight.
Ice Age Alley?
That might have been it.
Maybe. Then the first one was
Snow. Ice Age Alley, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the... I mean, you had the Croctopus chase. Those octopuses that chase you through each the water level in that one. That was a fun underwater level.
That was fun. I think the ice world kind of showed, this game was so interesting because like all the levels were really dynamic, or at least like the scenery was. Like you'd have some levels where as time went on, it would rain harder or it would change to darkness. The sun would set. And the snow levels, I want to say the first level you play in, it gets snowier as you go. And then like
it definitely did.
The third level, I think it starts off snowy and it kind of peters off. But I remember
it
got this
sunny. I think it was very dynamic.
It was great. Like this game came out in at the tail end of 94, and it was ahead of the Christmas launch, a Christmas release. And I don't know about you guys, but I got all my games at Christmas and birthday. It was like bam, bam. This December was a banner month for games.
That's
for
the same. Yeah,
yeah. John, you got the same thing. And I remember, I remember so fondly, and it's one of those things that I'm just, it will stick with me forever, and I'm never going to forget it. It's just, you guys ever play a game, and like something happens in the game, and it's so memorable to you, you can just like put yourself in that time. You just like are almost like teleported to that day. Like you just, you remember it so vividly because you can tie it to a game. Am I?
Yeah.
I remember there was a snow day and school was canceled and I was home for the day and I was playing Donkey Kong. And at the same time, I was playing the snow levels. And then like the way my room was set up, like I could see the snow coming down and it was crazy. It was a hell of a snowstorm. But I was playing Donkey Kong while on the snow levels. I don't know why, like just that whole like, I don't know, was it juxtaposition? Is that what the word I want to use? But it just stuck with me. Like it was just such a, I don't know, the game was beautiful and it just, that part of it always stuck with me. Like I don't know what it is. Every time I play the snow levels, I'm brought back to a kid every time.
Probably that I feel that way about Mario 64.
Yeah,
with some of the snow levels in there. Because I didn't play this Donkey Kong Country much as a kid. I rented it and I played it at a friend's house, so I did not get a full playthrough until now.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah, didn't have it. I think I got Donkey Kong Country 2 at a yard sale in college or high school, so I didn't really play that either. Just, oh yeah, this is a game, I'll collect it. But yeah, I can see what you mean, man. Some of those levels tie to a memory.
Side note, for some reason, and I don't know why, I wish I could just drill this out of my brain, but the third castle in Super Mario World always makes me think of Bill Clinton. And I have no fucking idea what connects me to Bill Clinton. I don't know if there was something on the news, but like when I play the third castle in Mario World, I always think Bill Clinton.
Who the hell's the boss in that one?
Lemmy, I think.
Lemmy's the first one. Morton's the second one.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, Iggy's the first one.
I don't know what it is. It's not even the boss. It's just the level. The level makes me think of Bill Clinton. I have no fucking idea why.
Yeah. Oh. That's weird.
I mean, this game starts spawning also so much more. I mean, you have it literally rejuvenated a character to the point where you have him in the Mario Kart games, you have him in Smash Brothers. Also, this wasn't the last Donkey Kong Country, followed by two other ones. And technically, those two other ones didn't even star him.
Yeah, he was rescued in the second one because you had, was it Dixie and Diddy in the second one? And then like Dixie and was it Kitty in the third or something?
Kitty Kong. No, you had Dixie's sister.
No, it's Trixie. Trixie's in DK. Trixie's in DK
64. Dixie and his brother, her brother, baby brother. And then you had the Donkey Kong 64, which had, Trixie. And those games, they had their own little abilities too. So, game was fun the whole time. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much that I kept on playing to try to find everything. I completed at 69%. First time through.
I think I was in the 70s. I can't remember, but
yeah, I was in the 50s.
I was just trying to go purely off memory of where I could find things.
I didn't do any digging.
So, one thing that I learned during this playthrough, again, this game came out in 94, so how many years have I owned this friggin' game? The barrels. Did you guys know that there are two different types of wooden barrels? One of them has like an iron ring on it, and you can throw it and it'll roll on the ground. But the other barrel is a vine, is wrapped in vines. And if you throw that, it breaks.
Huh. I did not know that.
I never knew there were two different.
No, I couldn't tell the difference.
There's two different wood barrels.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. You had wood barrels you could use. You had a vine. You had TNT that you had to find secret levels. You had a bunch of secret levels. I won't go through them because I don't think everyone needs a playthrough on those. But you had a bunch of secret levels where you get extra lives. I mean, I think my favorite bonus levels, if just touch on it, were the ones where if you got all three animal gold statues, you get to go and gain more bananas, get extra lives. Those were always fun. Those are the only probably bonus levels I really liked.
I like the ones where you had to jump on the barrel, and not the ones where you had to wait for the barrel to rotate, but the ones where the barrel automatically rotated. And if you just sat there and you just kept hammering on the shoot button, you just like, boop, 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 and you just fire through it. I don't know.
Oh, those were fun. Yeah, especially like those where you had to kind of like boom, 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 or you had to find like secret. I was always trying to find like the secret ones that get you through the whole level.
Yeah.
You just drop down. Those were fun.
I got to say that last one of those last levels with the platforms that changed directions and had a timer on them, that was probably my favorite.
Oh, the fuel tank.
It was hard. I think it was Platform Peril or something.
I don't think
I don't remember what that one is. I remember the fuel tank level. That one was crazy.
Yep.
That one. Yeah, that was literally like the last level before the boss. It was Platform Perils.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
That was fun, yeah, because you had to kind of time it perfectly.
A lot of thought went into these. All right, Nick, what did you make me wait for? I'm eager.
Okay, so let's break this down. We're going to do... you've been loving my dad jokes all night, right, guys?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You're loving my dad jokes, right? You ready for this? We're going to be playing some Monkey Around.
Oh, no.
Get it? Get it?
Monkey oh, around. No.
Monkeying around. Monkeying around. So... Let's cast a Donkey Kong movie. So this would be definitely animated slash or like they're not going to be that real life shit. They already screwed up Lion King. They already screwed up Mulan. So definitely not going through there. But I'm going to give you the names and you're going to guess who I've cast for them. These names. So right. I picked a peep. I'll be a, and you're like, okay, who is this? Is this Don Kong or is this Skrank Kong? All right, we're gonna start with Jason Momoa.
Candy Kong.
Is that his name?
Jason Momoa is gonna be playing who? Who do you think I would pick for Jason Momoa?
Isn't it the guy Dude Kong? Whatever the fuck his name is.
The fuck is a Dude Kong?
No, what's his name?
Funky Kong.
Dude right. Kong.
Candy Kong, Matt, you're stupid.
No, I chose him for Donkey Kong. I figured I'd make it easy for that one.
What? No. Yeah.
Okay, Anthony Hopkins.
That's definitely cranky. I could see, you know, him talking about he's going to eat Donkey Kong's face with a nice piece of Chianti. Think of Chianti.
That's a reach there, Nick.
Okay, so and these are all only characters that are in Donkey Kong Country. John, what do you think?
That's Cranky Kong, but that's a reach.
Go Funky John. Can you imagine Anthony Hopkins playing Funky?
I choose him because this is obviously going to be voice acted. King K. Rool.
No, Nick.
No.
Drinking too much seltzer beer.
All right, Adam Sandler.
Oh, that's Funky.
That's Funky Kong.
Funky all day.
No, I chose him to do the zingers and the voice for the zingers and the Queen Bee.
The fuck random ass shit what do you come Nick? Up with?
What are you smoking tonight?
Quiet. Okay. All right, Tom Holland.
So all Adam Sandler's going to do is just go buzz.
That's it. That's all I want him to do.
Oh, fuck.
Tom Holland.
Who's that?
Diddy Kong? If it's not Diddy Kong, I'm going to kick you.
Who's Tom Holland?
Spider-Man.
I'm so many Spider-Mans behind. Okay. Not Andrew Garfield. Okay, the other guy. Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's got to be Diddy, right? No, he's going to be naughty. He's the beaver.
No, he's Diddy.
All right, fuck.
All right, Michael Caine.
He's not cranky because he's too reserved. I could picture
Michael Caine has played some pretty badass characters, like some evil characters.
In what?
What?
Technically, he did in Kingsman.
He's not like
evil.
He's played some evil characters. Yes, he has.
No.
I don't know what I'd put him at. There's no like philosophical Kremlin.
So I chose him for cranky.
He's fucking necky.
Nope, cranky.
What?
Dude.
I'm crankier than Michael Caine.
Jesus.
Liam Hemsworth.
What?
Funky Kong?
Yep.
I was gonna, you know what? I was into a controversial on this one, and I get my Hemsworth mixed up, and Nikki be all up my ass about this, but isn't Thor a girl now in the comics?
Yeah, it's Jane Foster.
See, so we could just say Candy. He'd be a good Candy.
Well, we're getting there. Don't worry.
All right.
Zoe Saldana.
Candy Kong, I hope.
Yep.
She's fucking Ungard the Swordfish.
Who is she? I don't know these names.
Zoe Saldana, she was, why can't I think of her character in,
Gamora.
Guardians, Gamora, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right, gotcha.
All right, because I did Adam Sandler's crew. I did Rob Snyder.
is he Necky?
Nope.
No, Rob
Snyder. Is it the Beaver? Is he a stapler?
Rob, I chose. What do you think?
Rob Schneider. Yeah, he's got to be the Beaver.
I put him as Crusher.
What?
Fuck.
What?
I had to.
I'd put like Lou Ferrigno as Crusher or like, yeah. Or like John Cena.
There's certain like voice tones that you got to hit with.
That's why
I wanted
to have him have a weird voice tone. Because I wouldn't think. Those guys having like being at a masculine tone.
What type of fuck that have, like, movie are you running here?
This is what happens when you like Sega better than Nintendo.
This is like, John, what's the guy's Jodorowsky? Who's the guy that did the guy with the shitting in the buckets? He pronounced his last name. That's right. Nick. Nick, that's Nick.
All right, Paul Rudd.
He's a claptrap.
Chose him for Clump.
What? Nick, have you looked at Clump?
I know. That's what makes it funnier. It's completely off the base.
Clump's got man boobs. How does Paul Rudd have man boobs?
All right. David Spade.
I'm going to go mini necky.
Yeah. I said very naughty.
All right.
Tell. And you know, I'm going to end this on a good note.
Oh, God.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh. Oh, who crams gems? Oh, she's a Clambo.
She's Dumb Drum.
Nope, I put her as Master Necky, coughing up those nuts. See, oh, no, she's God. Sucking them down.
Oh, Nick, that was the best. That was something.
I'd put my two cents in, but I just want to leave this alone because this is fucking mint.
Can you go back and just go through your list one more time without John and I talking?
Okay. All right. So, Jason Momoa as Donkey Kong, Anthony Hopkins as King K. Rool, Adam Sandler as the Zingers and Queen Bee, Tom Holland as Diddy Kong, Michael Caine as Cranky Kong, Liam Hemsworth as Funky Kong, Gwyneth Paltrow as Master Necky, Zoe Saldana as Candy Kong, and Rob Snyder as Crusher, David Spade as Very Naughty, and Paul Rudd as Clump.
I could have kept on going. I had to stop because I was like, I could name the whole cast.
What the fuck movie is this?
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Wow. That's all I gotta say, man.
Do you have any closing thoughts on what you think about the game? And then I need to go and think about this. This really bothers me.
I mean, game still holds up now, graphic wise, gameplay wise. Like, if they did a Switch, like, the updated Switch version. Like, me at 3D, it would be great as well. Which they didn't have to do because they did a whole new game of Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which I now want to play.
Yeah, I heard I have a Donkey Kong Country Returns for Wii, but I heard Tropical Freeze is really, really, really good.
So, game was good. I mean, solid. I probably going to end up playing the other three because I think I actually have them on downloaded for, I think, my 3DS. So
nice.
And I'll probably see if I'm both getting those, the original ones, too. So, like it. Overall, good game. I wanted to pick a game that was a good refresher, breath of fresh air, as well as a good palate reset for us.
John,
but, hey, we have next week.
John, what are your thoughts? Your closing thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was a good game.
That's
about it.
So deep.
I don't know. I didn't have a history with it. What's that?
How long did it take you to get through this?
Like an hour?
That seems suspect.
Save states.
Oh, John. Yeah. I guess on my end, you know, I went into this thinking this was just, you know, Donkey Kong's always been around for me. I mean, I've had it since pretty much launch, you know. So I went in expecting, like, this is just going to be kind of a quick run-through game. We'll get to this, you know, not a whole lot here. And I guess the more and more I played it, the more and more I had a lot more to appreciate. I mean, I think it gets dismissed, you know, and even including by me as being something that's kind of simple. And when you take a step back and look at this and say, well, you know, it's meant to be simple by design. It's meant to be something that's very fluid and you know, boiled down to like what the core of what they wanted in this game. It's so fun to revisit and it definitely deserves a playthrough. And I'm glad you picked it. Definitely, it's on my recommend list. I would definitely recommend anyone play this.
Same, definitely a good recommend. Well, it was fun. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. We do have a next game is John's pick, I believe, right?
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Pick one?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're playing ActRaiser, aren't we?
Well, you're the one that's calling the shots.
Jesus.
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know, man. You guys play like fucking 5 games at a time.
No, wait, no, it's not. Nick, no, it's not John. It's not. It's me.
Is it really?
Yeah, because John picked Body Harvest and subjected us to that hellhole.
Oh, that's right. So, next game, Matt.
Yes. So, initially, and I apologize to everyone on Twitter, which, by the way, we do have some social media out there. We've got a Twitter account. We have an Instagram account, spin-retro. Nick and I have been slacking off. I'm going to try to pick up this week.
Huge. I've not posted anything on our Instagram.
I threw
forever.
Some stuff on Instagram, and then this week has been just a shit show, and I haven't put anything on. You know, our website, spin-retro. One thing, if you do listen, get in touch with us. Let us know, you know, give us a comment on the next game, you know, your memories of it, any questions you have on it, just your thoughts on the upcoming game when we talk about it going forward. But, yeah, reach out to us. You know, that's where you can find us. Our next game, Nick and John. I initially wanted to do Metal Gear Solid. And,
you did.
And we've pushed it back once, and I've since pushed it back again because I want some time on Metal Gear. Hold on, it's the dementia dog kicking in. One more time with it, and Nick has a pretty hefty pick coming up, which we wanted John to have plenty of time with. It's going to take him a couple nights to YouTube that one.
Yeah, boys and girls, we got a pretty big RPG coming up.
So I downscaled, and I went a little obscure. I think for our show, I think for some of our listeners, they may not know what this game is, and others, it's so common. It occupies this weird space where you either know it or you don't. It's an indie darling, the indie classic Cave Story, released for Windows PC, I believe in 2004 or 2005. Excited for that. I think that's our first discussion on anything PC related. You know, initially I was worried it wouldn't fall under retro, but we kind of, our definition is kind of PS2, GameCube, Xbox at our limit. So that puts this kind of in that sweet spot. It's on the tail end.
We're at the tail end, yeah.
So I wanted to visit that. It's funny. This game was retro inspired in a time that now qualifies as retro for us. So I don't know if that's some kind of like Russian nesting doll of retro, but excited to play that. I think this game, we'll have a lot to talk about, and it'll give John some time to play your big RPG, which we will tackle this winter.
Ugh. Yeah. Prepare yourself, John. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. But hey, K-Sorry, I'm excited for actually a PC game. I'll probably play it through the PC.
And so nice. John, it's easy to get a hold of. If you own something that can't play this and has a screen, I'd be shocked at this point.
I got a lot of options, man. I'll figure it out.
Yep. Yep.
Options, options, options.
All right. Signing out, guys. Thank you for listening. Catch you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.